Fanatics, for those who may wish to obtain a copy. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Words of Jesus Christ taken from the gospel of today. Indeed, salt and light are very powerful images. In the ancient world, salt was one of the most important necessities of life, especially for preserving and seasoning food. So too was light for obvious reasons. But both images are making the same point. Scripture, however, will help us understand what Jesus meant when addressing those words to his disciples and to his followers of all times. In Bible language, light stands for goodness and often for God himself, who is the authority of all goodness, or, if you like, the source of all goodness. While darkness stands for sin and evil, and for the devil, who happens to be the prince of darkness. John the Apostle finds no better way to tell us what God is than to say that God is light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John says, God is light, and there is no darkness in him. In the beginning of John's gospel, John says that the word was the true light that enlightens all men. John chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus himself would affirm that title of light ascribed to him when he said in John chapter 8, verse 12 and chapter 9, verse 5, I am the light of the world. So Jesus, in addressing the disciples in today's gospel as light of the world and salt of the earth, is saying, I am, you are the light of the world. And that is very, very correct. Like I said at the beginning of this Mass, that we were created in God's own goodness. And this goodness has never departed from us. Because as long as we remain in this world, that particular goodness resides within you and I. But those in hellfire no longer have it. It has been taken away from them completely. That is why sometimes we can be good, other times we can be bad. That is to say, what I am, that you must be. But Jesus is asking that we bring it out and let it pervade our whole personality, because light must continue to shine in the dark and must prevail. A Christian is not a person with a touchlight in hand showing the way to people. He must show the way by the light which he himself must be. The life of a Christian ought to become a light to all around him or her, for them to follow in his footsteps. As a matter of fact, Jesus was celebrated as light and salt to many people of his time. That was why a woman in the crowd could not contain her admiration of Jesus, and so she burst out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed is the womb that bore you." Just like in my own country, we have a way of saying when a son is good, you know, somebody is good. You know, we say, you are the true son of your father. But they never say you are the true son of your mother. So women, what do we do? As a matter of fact, in another place in the gospel, someone else was also full of admiration of Jesus and said, he has done all things well. In the gospel, Jesus was reported as going against the status quo of his age and time. He refused to let the Pharisees intimidate his disciples. He even ate and befriended sinners. He refused to allow the woman caught in adultery to be stoned to death. Now, for us all, in this particular context, let us think of those who still carry this light of Jesus around and are influencing lives. And they are there. They are in our own community. They are all over the place. You see them once in a while. And I choose to call such people Jesus people, Jesus people. You know, and that reminds me of this, the song, which I probably you know, you know, Jesus people come together, let your light shine. Jesus people come together, let your light shine. Let there be no difference within you or among you, let your light shine. Of course, it's for the Jesus people, those who bear the image of Jesus, who allow that light to come out and be given to others. Think of those who have brought sparkle to our life at a time when it had become drab. These are all images and signs of Jesus around us. It could be the arrival of a newborn baby bringing reconciliation to a family. It may be a family in distress that is cheered up by the visit of a kindly parent, godparent, uncle, or aunt. Perhaps it is a manager or co-worker who brings a new spirit of cooperation between management and labor. It may be also a new movement arising within a parish, community, or neighborhood that is transformative and eye-opener. All of these are signs of Jesus' presence in our midst, and we must embrace it as light and salt, stimulating and challenging us, both as individuals and as a church community. Therefore, as Christians, we are called to bear witness to Jesus' presence in our midst, particularly to unbelievers, through our good deeds. Bearing witness does not mean that we have to leave our jobs, rush out, and get involved in a wild wind of good works. It rather means that we are called to practice our Christianity, not just in the church, but out in the world. If by reason of our position, we find ourselves on some hilltop where all can see us, can people look to us for light? If I am a teacher, what do people expect from me? If I teach well, can I refrain from showing favoritism? If I show favoritism, do I bring light to some and darkness to others? If a Christian teacher shows any kind of favoritism, it should be towards the children who find learning very, very difficult. If I'm a politician, what do people expect from me as a Christian? Do I work for the good of the country and not just for my own good or the good of my party? If I'm a police officer, what do people expect from me? Would I try to bend the law or break it or uphold it or enforce it fairly? The lists are endless. It is all about trying to bring the light of the gospel into where we are and to what we are doing at this very moment. It's all about allowing that light from within you to radiate outwardly towards others without being pretentious and proud about it. In fact, it should flow naturally and almost unconsciously from you, almost a second nature. Perhaps we could compare ourselves to the moon. The moon does not have light by itself as the sun does. But lit by the sun, the moon itself becomes a light which illumines the night. Truly, its light is far less powerful than that of the sun, but it makes up for the sun when this is no longer visible. And that's why Jesus now makes us his instrument. Jesus has, we don't see him physically, but he's with us spiritually. But we are his instruments, radiating his own light. St. Paul understood this message of Christ for all his followers when he wrote to the Christians of Ephesus. He said, and I quote, "You were darkness once, but now you are light in the Lord. Be like children of light. For the effects of light are seen in complete goodness and right living and truth." End of quote. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Similarly, the prophet Isaiah, who lived hundreds of years before St. Paul, did associate the symbol of light with right living. speaking to his audience then and to us now. In today's first reading, St. Paul enjoins all of us that if we are, enjoins all of us that if we share our bread with the hungry, shelter the homeless poor, clothe the naked, do away with the clenched fist, refrain from using wicked words, then will our light shine like the dawn, and our light will rise in the darkness, and our shadows will become like the moon.